Hello and welcome into this Monday edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast. Mark Congleton here at the microphone, your sometimes humble host, for this hour of observation, insight, and quite often a bit of absurdity. Hope you had a great weekend. Ready to fire off this final week of July 2020. It is the 27th day of July 2020. And I hope you're well. Hope you and your fam and friends, your loved ones, you're all doing well. And that you had a great weekend. The weekend around our place was quiet. I mentioned the other day that Jane went out of town. She went out of town to visit some family, and she was gone from Thursday night until last night, and it was just quiet around here. The Shaggy one herself, Kimber the Wonder Dog, she was very quiet. She tends to be very vocal, barks a lot when the both of us are around. She joins into the conversation. If Jane and I display any kind of affection, she's right there at our feet barking at us like, hey, where's my hug? But she was very quiet during the whole weekend, except when she thought possibly Jane was coming home, because she knows about what time Jane gets home from work, and she sits on the back of the sofa and stares at the front door, basically. And she did that every day while Jane was gone. And then she was just beside herself when Jane came home last night. And I was too. It was a funny sight. All of us beside ourselves. It was really actually kind of weird when you get down to it, and a little disturbing. But besides that, kind of a quiet weekend. The Miata project wrapped up over the weekend. If you haven't followed on social media or checked at the website, that's dailyperspectivepodcast.com. I posted a bunch of pictures on the website, and because I'd been telling you I was going to post pictures, and I didn't think I'd been taking that many pictures. And when I looked back through my photos on my phone, I realized, wow, I have taken a bunch of pictures. So I posted all of those photos, and I ended up thinking I had a serious problem Friday afternoon, because I finished everything. There was a little bit of a valve tap. There was a mechanical issue that arose during reassembling things, and I thought, this may cause a problem, and I think it has caused a small problem. It's something I think is fixable, but still, it's irritating. It's not really hurting anything. It's just this little valve tap, 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 tap. And I've got a lifter that's stuck, and it's a brand spanking new lifter, so it's not dirty. If you're a car guy, you're thinking, oh, we'll just, you know, run some of this or some of that through your oil and then change your oil. And it's not that. It's actually a physical thing. There's the channel the lifter slides into has a burr in it somewhere, and I managed to get it past the burr to get it installed. But I thought I had cleaned the burr off of it, but no. There's still enough of it there keeping it from traveling as far as it needs to travel. But I think it's going to be okay. And I'll dive back into it before too long and see if I can finalize that process. Anyway, enough of that. It's running fine. It's running great. It was smoking pretty badly Friday. I had a chat with my buddy Mike, who's been working on cars all of his life. He's the guy who challenged me to get into working on my own car. And now I'm at the point now where I really think that if I had to pull the engine myself and rebuild the engine, I think I could do it. And I don't have an engine lift, so I would have to invest in that to make it happen, but I think I could do the rebuild on my own. But refurbing the parts, I'd have to send them out someplace, but then I could actually assemble everything on my own. When I just made a dumb mistake, and I overfilled the oil, and it was just a dumb mistake. I'd been watching these guys on YouTube working on Miatas, and watched a guy refill his oil after doing an engine build, and he put in a certain amount of oil, and I thought, well, that should be fine then. And I put that amount of oil in, not considering the fact that he has a couple of modifications to his particular engine, which actually will hold more oil than mine will. And as a result, it was running rough. It was weird. It was smoking badly. And when I realized what was going on, after talking with Mike, and I told him what it was doing, how it was smoking, and when it was smoking, he got this puzzled look on his face, and I started thinking, well, maybe the oil's not coming down from the top like I thought it was. Maybe it's just too full. And it was. So I drained some of the oil off, and it stopped smoking. So everything is, it's running fine. I got the timing set. Everything is fine. I took it out last night, drove to a little town. I met Jane on her way home. I met her for dinner someplace because I knew she was going to be just ragged out, tired, and just that she would not be wanting to sit around the house. She certainly wouldn't want to prepare anything. And the cupboard is kind of bare right now. And so I said, you know what, let's just go grab something. And so I met her there, about half an hour away from home, and the car performed beautifully the whole way. It runs better than it has in a long, long time. And so I would say the Miata project is a success. I still have a couple of not engine parts, but a couple of little parts coming in that I've ordered, that it's just taking time. One of them is this place that I ordered this from makes them when they're ordered. They don't have a warehouse full of these things. It's a couple who makes these parts for people. And I thought, you know, I would like to have one of those. And it wasn't that much money, and it's custom made. And I, you know what, I'm going to get one of those. And so that it's 3 working weeks, 15 working days, business days. So it should be coming anytime now. Plus another little add-on feature that wasn't all that much money. But everything else is done, and I'm very pleased with it. I have an appointment this afternoon about 1:00. I'm seriously considering taking the Miata out, even though it's going to be hot. No air conditioning. That's all right. It'll be air conditioned where I go. So I'll just lay in there and stink and sweat in front of them at the dentist office. Pardon me. Oh, man. But I hope your weekend went well. I hope you're looking forward to a good week. Life in the United States of America is crazy, as it always is. And I don't know where to start. First up, this. We lost Regis Philbin over the weekend. Regis was an icon in the TV business. He was a game show host. He was he hosted with Kathy Lee on television for years. He in the mornings he was on the, I think he was the original America U.S. host for You Want to Be a Millionaire. The guy hit it big, and he hit it big a little bit late in life. And he made it to the age of 88, and now he's gone. So condolences to his family, his precious wife, Joy, and he will be missed. And he created a lot of great memories for people. So rest in peace, Mr. Philbin. We will miss you. And moving along, you know I like me some Just Facts Daily. And I bumped across this one literally as the intro music was playing for the show. And I had to pass it along to you. It's a question of the day from Just Facts Daily. Here it is. In the case of D.C. versus Heller, 4 of the Supreme Court's 9 justices wrote that for every intruder stopped by a homeowner with a firearm, there are 4 gun-related accidents within the home. What is the actual ratio? Ooh, so that's not true, is it? Mm-hmm. Once again, in the case of D.C. versus Heller, 4 of the Supreme Court's 9 justices wrote that for every intruder stopped by a homeowner with a firearm, there are 4 gun-related accidents within the home. What is the actual ratio? Is it less than 1 in 4? Is it 1 in 4 to 1 to 1, or is it more than 1 to 1? What would your answer be? Well, the answer is more than 1 to 1. Data from the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has shown that Americans use guns to frighten away intruders who are breaking into their homes about 27 times more often than the number of gun-related accidents that result in death or an emergency room visit. The 4 Supreme Court justices who claimed the ratio was 1 in 4 cited a local D.C. council committee report as their source. But the report provides no evidence to support the claim. It merely states that figure without offering any proof. And as usual, in progressive political circles, they just make a statement as though it is gospel truth with nothing to back it up. And if you challenge them to back it up, they will demonize you, condemn you, and maybe they will quote other sources, but those sources will be just as dependable as their original statement. 27 times more often than accidents that result in death or a trip to the emergency room. This is news you never, ever, ever hear in the progressive press. They don't want you to know that guns are used all the time. And that's not an exaggeration. They're used all the time to deter people from breaking into homes, from committing violence to people in the homes, and also to deter crime in the public square. People are every day responsible. Responsible gun owners every day, literally thousands of times, will either draw or simply reveal a weapon, which stops criminal activity in its tracks. Every day, many, 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 many times every day. It's not news. As far as the progressive press is concerned, it isn't news. They keep towing the line that gun ownership is dangerous, that there is no benefit. In fact, they out and out lie about how beneficial responsible gun ownership actually is, in an effort to frighten people into believing that guns in the hands of anyone are dangerous objects which need to be controlled only by people in authority, like the police and the military. Well, if you look at history, another thing that progressives would love to wipe away, if you look at history, you'll learn that whenever a civilization is deprived of the right to protect itself with firearms, the government eventually becomes their enemy. It no longer represents the people. It rules over the people. Eventually, the government sees itself as more important than the people, and that without them, the people would be lost. Sound familiar? It should. Because right now in America, today, our government more and more often sees itself as a vital part of our society, without which we could not survive. Because progressives, in every aspect of our government, firmly believe that they are intellectually and morally superior than the average person. They believe that they are more important. They believe that they are smarter than the average guy, and they care more. And so they must be in positions of power and control. They are the elite, and they see themselves as the elite. And those people are trying to convince you that gun ownership is unnecessary and dangerous. Right now, in Portland, Oregon, and Seattle, Washington, we are watching what happens when the people are put under the control of government that sees itself as more important, more enlightened, and more necessary. We're watching people every night under the cover of darkness destroying property, burning things, attacking people, sometimes in broad daylight. And every now and then we see a story about someone fighting back using a firearm. Those people are demonized for attacking peaceful protesters. But responsible gun owners don't draw their weapon unless they feel their lives are in danger. In one of those stories, one of those cases, a driver pressed through a crowd of peaceful protesters and was approached by one of those peaceful protesters carrying a rifle. And the driver defended him and his passenger. That driver is now cooperating with police, but you can count on the authorities in that city coming down hard on them, just as we've seen happen in other cities recently. Why? Because progressives will not be second-guessed. Welcome back. It's the Monday edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast. Mark Congleton here with you, hoping you're having a great day. Whenever and wherever you may be listening, thank you so much. And thanks to my friend Joel for this idea. He posted this on Facebook the other day. Doggone it, I gotta use that as bumper music. That's classic stuff from Voyage. Let's Fly Away. It is the Monday, 27th of July edition of the podcast. And I was, it's funny that sometimes I pull stories and I pull a story for use on the podcast and I use it because I have followed the link, read the entire story, and said to myself, self, you need to put that on the podcast. And 99.9% of the time, that story is there when it comes time for us to chat about it. Now and then, it's not there. It's gone for one reason or another. One of those reasons is that suddenly the publisher decides you should have to pay to read that story. To begin with, when the story is first read, when I first see it, I can see it from top to bottom, the entire thing. And then when I go back, for example, right now, I go back to a story from the Wall Street Journal, which I was able to read yesterday. It's now behind a paywall. Let me say that again. Wait, here. Yeah, I don't like it. I just don't. And so, Wall Street Journal, I salute you for being stupid. But as I speak right now, I'm doing a search, and I'm going to find... There we are. I found a different source for it. Good. A&E, the Arts and Entertainment Network. I challenge you to find a lot of art and entertainment on A&E. I mean, seriously, go look. But not long ago, they canceled the hit police reality show Live PD. Now, this in response to this defund, remove the police. The police are evil. This whole thing the progressives have got going, and they're all just squawking like a bunch of... You know what it reminds me of sometimes? It's like when a bunch of dogs all live under the same roof, or there you go to the pound or you go to the vet's office or something like that. One dog starts barking, then the rest of them, they have no idea why the dog is barking, but they all start barking because, well, Sam over there is barking. There's got to be a good reason. And they all start barking. This is what this reminds me of sometimes. Because somebody says, oh, we got to defund the police. And then the next thing you know, all the mindless little robots all start squawking and barking the same thing. Let's just, the police are evil. We need to tell you the police are the source of the problem. No, it's not. And I'll deal with that shortly. But A&E pulled Live PD. They did it on June 10th. And... it's just been learned that their networks have not just dropped, not just slipped, their ratings have plummeted. The network has lost about half of its viewership. Oh, my. Average primetime viewership for A&E between June 11th and June 19th was 498,000 people. That's down 49% from the same period last year. Numbers coming from Nielsen. In the key demo, adults 18 to 49 and 25 to 54, 55% and 53% drops, respectively. A&E is co-owned by Walt Disney and Hearst Group. They dropped live PD in the wake of the George Floyd death. And by the way, Fox, please, the killing of George Floyd. The killing? That's presumptive. You're making an assumption. But they dropped live PD in the aftermath of the death of George Floyd. Before A&E pulled the show, its primetime viewership was up 4% from the same period in 2019, according to Nielsen. The network has other popular shows, including The First 48. That show follows the first 2 days of a criminal investigation. Court Cam, about outbursts inside courtrooms. But none of them have been as successful as Live PD. A&E's ratings decline go beyond primetime. Total daily average viewerships in the week since the show was pulled, 36% down from a year earlier. 36% down. In the 18 to 49, 25 to 54 age groups, the declines were even larger, 42 and 46%, respectively. In a statement to the Wall Street Journal, whose article you can't read unless you pay for it, A&E called the drop a temporary hit in the ratings that it expected, given the success of Live PD, and it's been mostly replaced by reruns. The network said it's always been able to find new hits and reinvent themselves. The sister shows of Live PD, also canceled, include Live PD Police Patrol and Live PD Presents PD Cam. In some weeks, the Live PD universe account for more than 85% of A&E's daily programming. So it just makes sense that they would lose a huge chunk of their viewership if they pulled the police-related shows. And they were profitable, due in part because of the low cost of production. I mean, come on, you got somebody with a camera doing ride-alongs, right? In 2019, the Live PD empire brought in $292.6 million in advertising. For the first quarter of 2020, the program sold $95.8 million in advertising. So, A&E took a hit, a financial hit as well. Rightfully so. Because this anti-police vibe is toxic, and whoever promotes it should be punished for it. And they will be, as we've seen with A&E. You see, Live PD wasn't just a sensational show. And that's why it was so popular. You just never knew what was going to happen. Something bizarre, crazy, weird, wild, and exciting was going to happen, so you kept your eyes on it all the time. But it also showed people in a positive light. It showed police officers as human beings. It showed them as being compassionate, yet firm when it came to the law. They understood the plight of people, and yet, if people were breaking the law, nobody's above the law. I'm sorry, I understand your problem, but you still broke the law. We have to deal with that first. And because it humanized police, because it showed them as real people, and it revealed the truth that people commit criminal acts, and regardless of their circumstances, criminal acts are still criminal. They're still crimes. Well, the people can't see that. And so the anti-police crowd said, you've got to drop the axe on Live PD. And every show like it that shows police officers as human beings, because it goes against the grain of the narrative. people won't believe us when we tell them that the police are evil if you're showing them that the police are just people. And that's the problem. Progressives don't want you to know the reality of the world around you. They want you to just accept what they tell you. Don't think for yourself. Don't examine things for yourself. Don't critically think through what they have to present to you. Just accept it. This is how they control those who follow them. Now, if you've dealt with anybody with a liberal leaning in social media, and you've gotten into an exchange with them, possibly even around the dinner table at a family gathering, you understand that progressives aren't really big on critical thought. They're really big on pummeling you and burying you in links to articles which support what they say, all written by progressives and supported with either nothing or bogus studies. But they're not big on critical thought. They're not big on actually examining what's going on to decide whether or not it's real, it's true, and it's supported by the facts. Oh no, the police are evil. They're contributing to the problem. Really? That's like saying sending the toddler to his room is what makes the toddler misbehave. Welcome into the second half of this Monday Daily Perspective Podcast for July 27th, 2020. Glad you're along today. Thank you for joining the fun. My buddy, John, I know you're listening. He comments on my, I posted something from Larry the Cable Guy earlier today, this morning. Larry the Cable Guy, if you don't follow Larry the Cable Guy on Twitter, you really should, because I think he tries his jokes on Twitter to see how they bounce. He wants to see what kind of reaction he's getting from the jokes. And from time to time, I share them on my personal Facebook page. And this was one of them. He says, I'm worried buffets may not come back. I mean, I never really went for the food. I went to build self-esteem. When I'd walk in the door, most of the time, I became the eye candy and one of the thin guys. I miss those days. It just killed me because Larry's a bit on the chunky side. I can relate. But my buddy John says, it really does make me sad. This is how he responds. It really does make me sad, especially for Chinese and sushi buffets. And maybe you did what I did when I saw it. When you heard that, maybe you did what I did when I read it. Sushi buffets? There's sushi buffets? we're already talking about we're talking about raw fish here, okay? Raw fish on a buffet. Really? Why does this? And I responded to him. Why does that thought produce mental images of gas stations? You know the old joke about gas station sushi? It's a sushi buffet? Oh my. Anyway, that's what crossed my mind. Oh man. You know, I like to start the podcast with a little bit of absurdity, and I didn't today. But I've got some for you now, and it's real life. I mean, there's nothing in the world that beats real life absurdity. You know what I mean? Just nothing. And when it comes from somebody on the left in government, it's even better. And this guy, I've referred to him in the past as the Weeble. I saw him referred to as the Penguin today. And it just kind of fits. You remember Burgess Meredith, the Penguin from the old Batman TV shows? Yeah. Democrat House Judiciary Committee Chairman Jerry Nadler, he claimed without evidence yesterday that the violent Antifa riots in Portland were, quote, a myth. Myth? Yes? No, a myth. His remarks directly contradict video evidence that's widely available on social media and contradict what the Department of Homeland Security says is happening in Portland. Quote, the violent situation Portland has witnessed for the past 8 weeks continues with violent anarchists rioting on the streets as federal law enforcement officers work diligently and honorably to enforce federal law, defend federal property, and protect the lives of their fellow officers. That's what the DHS said in a statement yesterday. He goes on to say, as federal officers left the courthouse to respond to attacks on the fence, just like on previous nights, they were met by rioters with hard projectiles, mortar-style fireworks, and lasers that can cause permanent blindness. Over the previous 24 hours, such assaults have resulted in at least 14 federal officers injured. Nadler was approached by journalist Austin Fletcher and asked if he disavowed the violent riots. Fletcher said, it is true, there's violence across the country. Do you disavow the violence from Antifa that's happening in Portland right now? There's riots. And he interrupts, that's a myth that's being spread only in Washington, D.C. Fletcher says, about Antifa in Portland? Nadler once again claimed without evidence, yes. A person with Nadler, presumably an aide, rushed in to get him away from the camera and took him to a car nearby. And actually, let's see if we can play the audio here. Let's see if this will play.
It is true. There's violence across the whole country. Do you disavow the violence from Antifa that's happening in Portland right now?
That's a myth that's being spread only in Washington, D.C.
About Antifa in Portland?
Yes.
Sir, there's videos everywhere online. There's fires and riots. They're throwing fireworks at federal officers. DHS is there. Look online. It gets crazy, Mr. Nadler.
And his keeper puts him in the car.
So he thinks it's fake news.
Antifa's a myth.
Yeah, Antifa's a myth in Portland. Meanwhile, the whole city is on fire, and they're going to burn down the courthouse.
So Jerry Nadler is perpetuating the hoax that the Democrats are spreading everywhere, that this isn't really happening. Now, interesting how he phrases it, though. That's a myth being spread only in Washington, D.C. What could he mean by that? That's a myth that's being spread only in Washington, D.C. I'll tell you what he means by that. That's a Republican lie. That's what Jerry Nadler means. That all the stories you're hearing about the violence in Portland, Oregon, and Seattle, Washington, they're lies being spread by Republicans. That's what Jerry Nadler wants people to believe. And sadly, I've seen it in social media myself. A lot of liberal leftist people are believing what Jerry Nadler is saying. It doesn't matter that we've seen the evidence. We've watched the videos ourselves on social media. It doesn't matter that we've seen the burning. We've seen the violent attacks. We've seen people trying to tear the fencing down around the federal courthouse in Portland. We've seen them launching fireworks. We've seen the lasers cutting through the haze of smoke around the courthouse. It doesn't matter that we've seen it with our own eyes. Jerry Nadler and the Democrats have adopted the who are you going to believe, me or your lying eyes approach to things. Jerry Nadler and the Democrats are lying to America about what's going on in Portland, Oregon, and Seattle, Washington. They're lying. We should not be surprised. Not in the least. The Department of Justice said in a statement last week, according to court documents since May 26th of 2020, protests in downtown Portland have been followed by nightly criminal activity, including assaults on law enforcement officers, destruction of property, looting, arson, and vandalism. The Hatfield Federal Courthouse has been a nightly target of vandalism during the evening protests and riots, sustaining extensive damage. U.S. Marshals Service deputies and officers from the Federal Protective Service, Homeland Security Investigations, and U.S. Customs and Border Protection working to protect the courthouse have been subjected to nightly threats and assaults from demonstrators while performing their duties. Acting Department of Homeland Security Secretary Chad Wolf added on Twitter yesterday, quote, day 56. Last night, six DHS law enforcement officers were injured in Portland. To be clear, criminals assaulted federal officers on federal property. And the city of Portland did nothing. It's time Portland join other responsible cities around the country to hold criminals accountable and protect federal property and officers. The city of Portland is allowing Antifa and their operatives who have infiltrated or working alongside Black Lives Matter operatives, they're allowing these people to attack every night, attack federal officers, and they're not doing anything to stop them. And when Democrats are asked about what's happening in Portland, they say, that's a myth that's really only being spread in Washington, D.C. Remember this when it comes time to vote. Remember that Jerry Nadler and the Democrats want you to believe a fairy tale. Remember that Jerry Nadler and the Democrats want you to doubt your lion eyes and believe whatever they tell you. And remember, when it comes time to vote, that the Democrats are lying to America because they want this violence to continue. Because they want to use this violence against the President of the United States in an effort to overturn his re-election, to prevent his re-election. Jerry Nadler and the Democrats have been lying to us for a long, long time about many things. And they're so focused on the upcoming election and preventing Donald Trump from winning a second term that they will lie in the face of video evidence, which is all over the internet. Just remember that when it comes time to vote in November. Here's something else to remember. I, the other day, mentioned that we still haven't seen an official report on what really happened to George Floyd. Well, investigative reporter Paul Sperry is reporting that the full George Floyd autopsy reveals that his blood concentration level of the powerful street opioid fentanyl was 4 times the level which has been known to cause fatalities. He also had speed and marijuana in his system. I referred to him being on a cocktail of drugs in the past because that's what people have been leaking, have been saying, that he was on a lot of drugs. The first arresting officer on the scene saw foam around George Floyd's mouth and asked him if he was on anything. It's available now. The entire report is available, the autopsy, the Hennepin County Medical Examiner's Office autopsy report is there. He was on a lot of drugs. A lot. He had heart disease. Severe, multifocal, arteriosclerotic heart disease. He had hypertension and a clinical history of it. And more. It's all there. The link to this report is in the show notes today. Make sure you go to dailyperspectivepodcast.com and get today's show notes. The entire autopsy report is there. George Floyd was on a lethal cocktail of drugs, which produced the kind of behavior he was exhibiting, which was why the police officers detained him the way they did. Get the show notes. Yeah. Here we go. Jumping feet first into the final segment for this Monday, the 27th of July. I want to start off with a little something that somebody I follow on Facebook posted earlier today that I thought was interesting. And he actually shared a post from Ted Nugent. And here's what Uncle Ted had to say. Believe what you want. Here's something to think about. The U.S. population is 330 million, and in 5 months, the number of deaths was 130,000. The number of deaths as a percent of the population is 0.03939%. Compared to the number of cancer cases diagnosed in 2019, that's 1.7, almost 1.8 million, and 607,000 deaths. This doesn't seem far-fetched, because it's happening before our eyes. A very well-orchestrated plan, or an unimaginable set of events that just fell into place with the United States front and center. You tell me. Scare people with a virus, force them to wear masks and place them in quarantine. Count the number of deaths every second of every day in every news headline. By the way, 99 8/10 of the people who get the virus recover. About 1 2/10 of 1% who get the virus die. Most of them have other medical problems. Did you catch that? Less than 0.5% die. Close the businesses. 35 million plus instantly unemployed. Remove entertainment and prohibit recreation. Closing parks, gyms, bars, restaurants, sports. No dating, no touching. Isolate people. Dehumanize them. Close temples and churches. Prohibit worship. Create a vacuum and let depression, anxiety, hopelessness, and desperation set in. Then, ignite hatred and civil unrest, creating civil war. Empty the prisons because of the virus and fill the streets with criminals. Send in Antifa to vandalize property as if they are freedom fighters. Undermine the law, riot, loot, and attack all law enforcement. But tell the government to order a stand down. Then, defund law enforcement and abolish police. We're all being played by those who want to destroy America. This is how you destroy a nation from within, and in very short order. Will it work? I guess that depends on you and me. You may see some of that as being conspiracy theory. But when you step away from everything and look at what's really going on, there certainly is an awful lot of panic over something that's not affecting nearly as many people as cancer. Or as I mentioned last week, tuberculosis. This all seems like this perfect storm of terrible things happening at one time. In fact, I believe it's a little too perfect. It's very odd that all of this is happening at once, when you consider that we're just 100 days away from a presidential election. We're just under 100 days now. That the turmoil, the insanity, the craziness has been spinning up and dialing up. It makes you wonder what else could happen. That's actually been the topic of memes on social media lately. Well, this didn't work. What's next? Whether or not you believe or agree with Ted Nugent or me, I don't really care. I just want you to think. Really think. Does it make sense from the 30,000-foot view for all of this to be happening at the same time, unless there's some sort of a purpose behind it? There was a time in this country where we fought against communism. And right now in this country, in Portland, Oregon, there are communists running the city government. There are communists on the city council voting to defund the police, to remove 50% of their budget. We actually have communism alive and well and thriving in certain places in America. Our children are not taught about the evils of communism in school anymore. Our children are not taught about our history. So it's up to you and I, as Ted Nugent says. I guess that depends on you and me. It's up to you and me. We have to tell the truth and stand by the truth. And I'll tell you something. I said last week, I talked about trying to keep the peace and not getting into arguments with people on social media. And I stand by that. But you also shouldn't back down from the truth. Never back down from the truth. And the truth is that when you step back and you look at everything that's going on right now in the light of an oncoming presidential election, it becomes fairly obvious that what's happening is intentional. I've been seeing reports of people who've been through COVID. They've suffered through it. Some who say it was the worst thing they've ever been through, and others who say, well, it was nothing. But in between those two extremes, I'm seeing comments like, it was bad, but I've had the flu that was worse. And yet we're panicked. Uncle Ted's right. He talks about counting the number of deaths every second of every day in every news headline. But those news stories ignore the fact that 99 8/10 of the people who get this virus actually do recover. And only about 1 2/10% who actually get the virus die from it. And most of them have other medical problems. And then you add to that that we don't really know what the numbers really are, because we're learning almost every day that the reporting of numbers has been wrong from many sources. Sometimes multiplied 10 times. So the numbers are deceptive. What do you believe? People are living in fear. And that is to the advantage of people who are in progressive politics. Because a frightened people will turn to the government for protection and help. And a progressive government is more than eager to provide that protection and help. And a progressive government will ignore the law in order to do so. In fact, progressives are demanding that our president ignore the law. And isn't that interesting? That on one hand, they look at him and point their fingers and say, no one is above the law. And they say, he's breaking the law. He's doing illegal things. And on the other hand, they're demanding that he ignore the Constitution and break the founding laws of our land in order to declare a national situation with regard to the virus. We're watching state leaders respond in fear, but different kinds of fear. In their case, it's the fear of losing funding if they don't cooperate. I mentioned that last week, too. I suggest that you look, if you live in a state where the governor has said there's now a statewide mandate that you must wear a mask in public, I suggest you have a look and see how much federal funding that governor is depending on for the projects that governor has promised for your state. And also see if they've had a meeting with a progressive government official at any time in the recent past before they declared their statewide mandate to wear masks. I think you'll probably find that they are depending on federal funding to deliver on the promises they've made to you, and that they have talked with somebody in federal government who is in favor of mask mandates. I think you'll find that to be true. We are being played. Don't allow yourself to be played. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I'm an observer. I watch what happens. I observe humanity. I appreciate the absurdity, and I enjoy a good laugh about the absurdity of life. But I also observe the reality. And I watch what's really going on. I watch the behavior of people, and I recognize the patterns. And right now, when it comes to progressives in government, I'm seeing a very familiar pattern of deception, a very familiar pattern of lies, a very familiar pattern of misdirection. And I'm just warning you, you need to open your eyes and pay attention, because there are people in our country right now who want those people in Portland, Oregon to succeed. And that's it for today. God bless you. Have a good one. We'll see you back here tomorrow for the Tuesday edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast. Bye.
Oh, we're done.